All right, we're glad to have you all here, including you young children who get to stay with us today. Thanks for being with us today. If you would turn in a Bible, whether it's your own or the one in front of you, to Proverbs chapter 19, we're going to be looking at verse 11. Last week we looked at a proverb, and this week we're looking at a different one. In our ongoing series about how we can work it out, dealing with conflict in light of the gospel. Now, we put a lot of focus recently on dealing with conflict in a more direct way, and we'll come back to that. But one of the things that we have to deal with is that sometimes in dealing with conflict, we need to step back. And that's sometimes hard for us to figure out what that's going to look like. So that's what this sermon is about, and it's from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. Let me remind you that even though this is a proverb and it might sound just like a good saying, it is the Word of God because it's found here in Scripture. And so this is what God says to us. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Let's pray. Father, help us. We need wisdom. We need good sense. We need you to work in us so that we will know when we need to be people who will step back and will overlook an offense, who will pass over it, who will forgive unilaterally. We also need help in being slow to anger. And then, Father, we need wisdom to know when we don't need to overlook. And so this is a complicated issue for us. Give us wisdom by your Spirit, and most of all, point us to the Lord Jesus, so that whether we address or don't address, whether we have wisdom or not, that we know the grace that comes through the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Spirit because of our loving Father. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so recently, I went into a store here in Sumter, and I found out that Christmas stuff is already out. And I don't know about you, but that's a little hard for me. I'm like, wait a second. We haven't even had Halloween. Haven't even gotten to Thanksgiving. I already see Christmas stuff up. Something is wrong with this picture. So Christmas stuff being already out, that reminds me that Christmas time is supposed to be a time of what we would say peace on earth and goodwill to men. But sometimes that's not the case at all, is it? I was reading this article that referenced these particular examples that happened one Christmas, not too terribly long ago. All these things happened in the same Christmas period. In San Rafael, California, two men exchanged gifts and were offended by what the other person gave, and so they fought and hit each other over the head with a flower pot. Both were hospitalized for that, by the way. Another incident that happened that year, 20-year-old Brandy Nicole Nason was less than pleased with the gift that she received. And so she went to her mother-in-law's house and she threw a Molotov cocktail at her house that started a $200,000 blaze over a gift that she didn't like. And then that same Christmas, a woman in Victoria, British Columbia, was arrested for beating a man with her Christmas tree. The incident was sparked because the man grumbled that the load of gifts that he was carrying in his arms was heavier than the tree she was carrying, so she beat him with it. Now, we hear those examples and we say, oh my goodness, those are just crazy examples of someone's being hypersensitive. You know, they need to just overlook those things and not get into a fight. But in a sense, aren't we all like that to a certain degree? Don't we have difficulty at times figuring out whether we should overlook an offense or not? I think we do. And from this passage, we can see that God does not call us to address every single thing that could possibly offend us in some way. We see that in Scripture. Right here, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. God does not call us to address every single thing that could possibly offend us in some way. Think about that. If we actually did that, we would do nothing else. Some of you are probably offended by what I just said. I mean, seriously, we get offended by something all the time, and if we had to address every single offense, we wouldn't do anything else but address those offenses. And what this passage tells us is that wisdom, good sense, it makes us slow to anger. Now, anger is a tricky thing. It really is. Sometimes Christians get this idea that anger is sinful in and of itself. But anger is not sinful. The Scriptures say that God becomes angry at times. The difference is that what God is he is slow to anger. And that's what the Scriptures call us to be, slow to anger. So the problem with our anger is not the anger itself, it is that sin infects us. And it causes often our anger to be too quick, or about the wrong things, or dealt with in the wrong way. And this passage tells us, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Now, a couple of things I want to say. This is not in the outline per se of the sermon, but there are things that need to be said. First of all, there are times when we need to address sin or offenses. And for those of you who are saying, oh good, this means that I don't have to address those things in my life at all or anybody else's life at all, you're not getting off the hook by this sermon. You do have to address things, and we'll talk about that in upcoming weeks. But there are times when we do need to overlook things. And that's what this passage and other passages, as we'll see, tell us that we should do. The second thing is that this passage isn't a weapon that we should use to beat other people over the head with when they are offended by something we did, and you're going to them and saying, well, you're offended needlessly, and good sense should make you slow to anger. And good sense should make you be someone who overlooks an offense, and you're not overlooking offense, therefore you're not following Scripture. You see what I'm saying? People can do that. Use Scripture in the wrong way. No, this passage is meant to deal with us when we are offended, to address our hearts when someone offends us, not to be used as a weapon over people's heads. No, good sense does make one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense, even though there are times when we need to address offenses, and we'll talk about that hopefully next week. And there are times when we need to recognize that if someone comes to us with an offense, we need to be humble and ready to deal with that offense the way that they experience it. You know, Don and I were actually talking about this recently because we have differences in musical tastes. And one of, how do I say this? My musical tastes are a little bit more hard rocking than hers are. And it's easy for me to take offense if she says something about my music. But sometimes she's just saying something like to play with me, to joke with me. And I take offense to it. And I shouldn't. I shouldn't take offense to something where she's just joking with me. And that just shows that sometimes we can be hypersensitive to things. Sometimes we can read into things that aren't there. Read into statements that aren't, you know, things that aren't really there. And there are times when we're just touchy about something. And we need to be aware that sometimes wisdom would say, be slow to anger. Maybe this is something that you need to overlook. And it's not just this passage, but there are all kinds of passages that talk about this. For example, Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Or Proverbs 17:27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Or Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. And on top of that, sometimes responding to an offense in an offensive manner is just adding to the mess. You and I we've all experienced that. Someone has said something or done something that may be low-level offense, and then we respond kind of out of character for that offense, and then it just escalates from there. We've all been there. We all know what that's like. But the Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. There are times when it's just better to, as my mom would say, keep your lips shut, zip it, and not get into the argument with someone. There really is. There's wisdom in that. Some good questions to ask ourselves when we find we're quickly getting angry or we're not able to overlook an offense. Some good diagnostic questions to ask. Why is this making me angry? Why am I irritable about this? Why am I cranky? Why am I grouchy? Why am I testy? Why am I brooding? Why am I passive-aggressive? What's going on inside me when I'm doing that? Maybe we need to ask, what are the things that easily offend me? And then ask, why does this particular thing offend me so much? Now, when we are slow to become angry, and we willingly demonstrate forbearance with others, we reflect something of the character of our gracious God. That's part of the good news here. I mean, that's part of what we're going to see in a few moments. God is slow to become angry. He is willing to demonstrate forbearance with us. I've said this before in another sermon, but it bears repeating. When Moses said, "Show me your glory," and God said, "I'm going to show you just the backside of my glory because you can't see my glory face to face." The first thing that God says when he passes before Moses, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's our God. That's a huge part of his glory, is that he is slow to anger. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's kind and compassionate. Even in Romans, where Paul is being strong against the people who are judging others about the sins that they see out there, but they're not dealing with their own sins, he says in Romans 2:4, "Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience?" You hear that? Kindness, forbearance, patience, that's who God is. "Not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance." God's kindness should be a call for us to come clean, to admit our problems, to admit where we have offended. But oftentimes, we see it as a license to go further, which just shows how depraved we can be. And then further on in Romans 3, and this is an amazing passage that I had never really caught this before until today, until this week, where Paul has just said that everyone is a sinner. No one seeks God. We're all standing in judgment before God's holy justice. And in Romans 3, he says that we're all sinners and that those of us who believe, we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. In other words, that the wrath of God is moved away from us because of Jesus dying in our place. And this is received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. In other words, God was showing this is what sin really deserves when Jesus died on the cross. And he did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the past, he had passed over many of those things. This is our God. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and his kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. And this is the God who also says to us that love is patient and it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not arrogant, it is not rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable. And I stop there because that's the one that gets me every time. It is not irritable. Oh. Lord, help me to be a loving man and not an irritated man. And part of that is recognizing that the sin is there that leads us to be easily offended because we value the wrong things. Now, again, this isn't to say that there are things that we should be offended by. There are. And there are things that we should get angry about. But it's always good for every one of us to have a heart check when these issues come up. And we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. So when we are slow to anger and when we are patient, we're showing something in God's character. And isn't that what we were made to do? To be like God. We were made in his image. And so we are to be, and especially as Christians, we are made to be those who are patient, kind, loving, not arrogant, not rude, not insisting on our own way, not irritable, not resentful. And folks, we are enabled by the grace of God. We are enabled to patiently overlook or even unilaterally forgive some offenses. And notice I'm saying some offenses, not all offenses, some offenses. We are enabled to patiently overlook or even unilaterally forgive some offenses because of the love, grace, and mercy of God shown us in Christ. Let me ask you, if you believe the gospel, how many of your sins were nailed to the cross? Some of them? Most of them? All of them? If you really do believe that all of your sins were nailed to the cross, and you bear them no more because of the grace of God. That's huge. Because there are some sins that you haven't asked forgiveness for yet. There are some sins you don't even know that you're doing yet. And dare I say, there may be some of us who will die and never really know just how deep our sin went. And yet, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, this is what we preach and teach, that the gospel is the message that all of your sins were transferred to Jesus and all of his righteousness was transferred to you. And you, in Christ, are right in his sight. It's hard to grasp, isn't it? Hard to get a hold of. That is grace upon grace upon grace. And that is what God has shown us in Christ. And therefore, when we are dealing with an offense from, let's say, from another believer, and we've been forgiven that much, how should we treat someone who offends us? How should we treat someone whom the Lord has forgiven all of their sins? Let's say we're dealing with an unbeliever. How should we deal with an unbeliever who we believe, based on the scripture, is dead in their sins and trespasses and blind to their problems? That they can't even see that what they're doing is hurting other people. How should we treat that to them? It seems to me that even in that, there should be mercy and compassion instead of irritation and anger. At least at first. At least we should be slow to irritation, slow to anger. So it seems to me that the real question is, and if you've been following along, I hope you're there, the real question is, when do we make like Elsa and just let it go? For those of you who don't get that, that's a little joke between me and the kids. When do we come to a certain place and say, okay, I should overlook this offense, but I shouldn't overlook that offense? That's where wisdom comes in, right? That's where wisdom comes in. Because, yes, this passage tells us that it is good sense to be slow to anger, but there should be a time where we should be angry about an offense. It is to our glory. It is an honor to overlook an offense, but sometimes it is sin to overlook an offense on someone's behalf. So, what do you do? How do you work through that? Have I whet your interest enough to say, yes, I want to know? I don't have the full answer. I will tell you, I'll be honest. Wisdom is just as tricky as anger. It's hard to walk through these things. That's why we ask God for wisdom. But one of the ways, I'm going to lay out at least several ways that should help us to decide whether we should let an offense go. I think if you follow these are all biblical, they're all scriptural, they will help you, they will help me to decide, is this an offense that I should just let go, or is this an offense that I should be angry about, I should deal with? Number one, and this is the one I think every one of us is guilty of skipping over. Pray. God invites us to pray about everything, whatever it is. And so if you're dealing with someone has said something, someone has done something, and you're wondering, should I deal with this or not? Should I overlook this or not? Pray about it. Go to your prayer closet and ask God. Say, this is what offends me about this. This is what hurts about this. This is what bothers me about this. Should I address this or not? And look, give me wisdom to know what I should address it or not. And God is going to be faithful. If we come to Him with faith, He's just not going to let that lie. He's going to guide us. He's going to give us wisdom. Second, not only should we pray, but we should examine our own thoughts, attitudes, and motives. We should examine our own thoughts, attitudes, motives. Okay, this is going to be a little embarrassing, but I'm going to go here anyway. Talking about Christmas earlier, I had a Christmas gift not too long ago. And if the person who hears this, if the person who did this gift is not here, by the way, but if you hear this on the podcast, I'm not offended anymore, but I was then. Please forgive me. The person gave me a belt. And it was one of those belts that you can expand without, you know, undoing something. You just press a button and it expands. And the reasoning that this person gave me for giving me this belt is, well, you know, you're a pastor. And I felt that was kind of offensive at first. And you eat a lot. And so I figured, you know, you're sitting at a table and, you know, you like you're eating and, you know, you're feeling your stomach kind of get a little bit bigger and you can just press that little button and the belt will go out and then you feel a little bit more comfortable. Okay, I was offended by that. I really was. But having some time to think back over it, what was it that offended me about that? What were my thoughts? What were my attitudes? What were my motives in wanting to, like, you know, come back and say something kind of mean, to be honest? I didn't say anything, but I wanted to. Well, I didn't want to admit my body issues, that I have a growing gut, and I didn't want to admit that other people knew that I had a growing gut. I also know that I sometimes overeat, and I really didn't want to deal with that issue. And this person has seen me eat. And even you guys have heard me say how much I enjoy those really big, nasty burgers that are stacked this high. Okay, you know, if you're... You probably shouldn't eat those. But I so enjoy them. I just didn't want to admit all that. There was a log in my eye, and I was offended by the speck of what this person said. I thought they were being rude by saying those things. Looking back over that moment, what this person was doing was really trying to be kind to me. I didn't take it that way, but that's the way they meant it. They didn't mean for it to be offensive. They really meant it as, hey, Stuart, you're gaining a little weight, and I know that you sometimes overeat, and I know sometimes you're at a place where, you know, you're eating, and, you know, that uncomfortable feeling like at Thanksgiving when you've eaten a little bit too much, and all you have to do is press this little button, and it'll give you some relief. That's what this gift was all about. It was really for my good, and my attitude, my sinful, selfish attitudes would not allow me to see it as a gift. that was for my good. It was just offensive. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's what was going on. So, not only pray about those things, but examine your own thoughts. Examine your own attitudes. Examine your own motives. Is there a log in your own eye? Are you seeking revenge? Are you harboring a grudge? Are you trying to avoid your own mess by pointing out the mess of others? We also need to ask ourselves, am I right in seeing this thing as a true offense that needs to be addressed? You know, there are times when Donna and I, we are different people and we have different attitudes. We have different ways of approaching things. And sometimes she'll say something to me and I'm totally offended by it. And then she says, I didn't mean it that way at all. And I'm like, well, if I was to say those words that way, this is what I would mean by them. And she says, but I'm not you. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. So sometimes we need to ask, is this a real offense or not? Are we reading into what's being said and done? And maybe, and this is a hard one, maybe I think that what the person did was sin when really it was just something I didn't like. That's a hard one for us, especially as Christians. You know, sometimes we get the thought that whatever we like, that's what God likes. Whatever, you know, our ethos is, that's what God's is. I mean, it may not be so. It just may not be so. So we should pray, we should evaluate, we should examine our own motives and that sort of thing. But three, we should evaluate and categorize the offense. Evaluate, categorize the offense. Is this offense sin or is it just a difference of opinion? Is this a matter of preference or a matter of right or wrong? Is this an issue that is, in the long term, really isn't going to matter? I'm ashamed to say how many times I got offended by some UNC fan who talked bad about Duke. On my deathbed, when I'm getting ready to go meet my Maker, I will not be able to care less about that. Is this really something that in the long term doesn't matter? Is this an offense, a one-time event, or is there a pattern? You know, like if you're a person that normally is on time and I ask you to meet with lunch for me, and you don't show up for 15 minutes, and I'm wondering what's happened, and you show up and you say, I'm so sorry, you know, I got caught in traffic, and there was a funeral that came by, and I, you know, just couldn't go further, and I tried to go another way, and that road was blocked off, and I go, oh yeah, I understand, no problem. But if every time I ask you to do something and you're late every single time, well, maybe that's something that needs to be addressed. And this is a situation where if it's a one-time event, we can probably overlook it. If it's a pattern, maybe not so much. Maybe that's something we start to need to address. And this is another one that we need to remember. And Christians, please hear this one. Please hear this one. Does the offense come from a person who is hurt deeply? One of the things I'm growing to learn is that hurt people tend to hurt people. And if the offense comes from someone who is hurt deeply, if they say something that makes you upset or they do something that makes you upset, maybe understand where they're coming from. Maybe try to put yourself in those shoes and give them some grace there. Because when you're deeply hurt, when you're someone who's pushed into a corner, some people just, you know, they don't want to deal with anything and they just hide. And some people come out swinging. But those people who come out swinging, sometimes it's because they're hurt. And we just need to understand that. And deal with the person where they are. So, we should evaluate and categorize the offense. Some offenses are worth looking over. Some offenses are worth dealing with. Try to figure out which it is. All right, so we've talked about praying. We've talked about examining our thoughts and attitudes and motives. We talked about evaluating and categorizing our offenses. The fourth one that I want to point out is we need to determine the degree of injury and impact. Determine the degree of injury or impact. Is the offense egregious? Is it heinous? Is it flagrant? Or is it really no big deal? Is it something that no matter how hard you pray about or how hard you try to drop it, you simply can't drop it? I would say that if you're in that situation, you should address it. Because it's causing a problem in the relationship. Does the offense affect someone other than you? And how painful is the offense? Not only to you, but to others. All those things need to be taken into consideration when we're trying to decide whether we should address this thing or not. And then the final one, if you're praying about it and you're trying to examine your own thoughts and your own attitudes and your own motives and you're evaluating and categorizing the offense and you're determining the injury and the impact degree and you still haven't been able to make a decision, seek wise counsel. Seek wise counsel. You don't know how many times I have gone to people over an offense and they've told me, yes, Stuart, that's something you have to address with that person, or Stuart, you're making a bigger deal out of this than you should. Let me give you an example of the latter. Most of you know I started off as a music director in a church, and there was this one particular church I was music directing, and the pastor wanted to introduce these new songs, and there was someone in the church, a couple, who did not want to sing those new songs. In fact, they protested by just standing there stone-faced the entire time while they would sing on the songs they knew, but on the new song, they just refused. It didn't matter whether the entire congregation knew the new song or not, they simply refused. And I took offense. And I went to the pastor and I said, we've got to do something about these people. They are protesting in the worship service when they should be worshiping. And the pastor looked at me and he said, Stuart, is this more about their worship of God or you're offended because your pride is hurt because they're not following your leadership? It's the latter. And it was so hard to admit, but it was true. At that moment, all I cared about was that they would be submissive to me. And that is a terrible attitude for any leader. And thank God for that pastor who saw it and pointed it out to me. And said, Stuart, you need to let this one go. Let somebody else deal with that. If the Lord wants to deal with that, somebody else will take care of that one. But you shouldn't be the one who deal with it. I'm so thankful that I sought wise counsel. And so my advice to all of you is, if you prayed about it, you've thought about it, you've evaluated, you're trying to determine the degree of injury and impact, and you still can't figure it out, go to someone who you trust and say, what do you think? They'll shoot straight with you. They'll let you know. And they may tell you, yeah, you need to go and address this. Or they may say, like this pastor said to me, this is an issue that you're dealing with in your own heart. You need to step out of this. So, I mean, think about all kinds of things that offend us. There's, what if somebody uses profanity in front of you? What if someone disses your favorite football team? What if someone laughs at a mistake you made because they found it funny? You know, all the things that we get offended by, what if we really practice these five things? How would that cause us to address those things or not address those things? Well, regardless of whether we choose to address the offense or not, patience, gentleness, and love should be evident in our treatment of the offender because of how God has treated us in Christ. Patience, gentleness, and love should be evident in our treatment of the offender because of how God has treated us in Christ. I know some of the offenses that are out there among you. Some of you have come to me and you talk to me about your offenses. And that's what makes this sermon so hard, because on the one hand, there's some of you, you're oversensitive. And there's some of you where, yeah, your offenses are real offenses that need to be dealt with. And the fear that I have of standing up in front of you and talking about all this is that both of you are going to get the wires crossed and think I'm talking to you about the wrong things. I hope that's not the case. I hope the Spirit is at work. In fact, I know the Spirit is at work helping you to work through those things. I trust that. But no matter whether we address it or not, God calls us to show patience, to show gentleness, to show love. Sometimes that's tough love, but it's still patient. It's still gentle. It's still loving. In fact, you know, the kindest thing I can do to someone who's getting ready to drink poison is to slap it out of their hands and say, don't drink that. That's a kindness. And actually, that shows some gentleness in the way that I'm addressing it. Because if I just said, what you're drinking there, that... It could be maybe poison or something. I don't know. You know, if I do that, they may not really get it. And being kind and loving shows that we care about the person. We care about the person as a person who is in their situation. So no matter who the person is and no matter what the offense is, let's, out of the gospel, the power of the gospel, let's show that kind of love to one another. And let's be wise about how we respond to various kinds of offenses for the glory of God and the good of others. Let's pray. Lord, I know that there is a lot that I have said and a lot that still could be said, and I just have to rest in the fact that I know, Holy Spirit, you're at work. So help us to sort through with wisdom when we should overlook an offense and when we should not. Give us wisdom to know when we should be angry. And when we are angry, help us to be angry and not sin. Oh, Lord, there's so much packed into just this little proverb. Grow us up in Christ so that we will be the people who not only display wisdom, but display Jesus because of what he's done for us in the gospel. Thank you. We pray in him. Amen.